9 o'clock. Thanks for joining us. Jim Davis and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Colorado has a decision to make. Do they go to the Big 12? Of course, the Big 12 has to want them first. But if they go in with Utah, with Arizona, Arizona State, I think that's pretty much a lock. What would it be better? Like, Buck, I thought you brought up a great premise. What if they bring in the top six teams in the Mountain West Conference and they keep the Pac-12 together? And all of a sudden, Colorado State, that becomes maybe, once again, a game that happens on a yearly basis because now it's a conference game. Of course, they don't have, they aren't going to have divisions anymore, so that kind of changes things a little bit, but certainly you would, wouldn't you want to see.
But if you add six, you'll have a 16-team conference.
Right. And so, your thoughts on that? Does that make more sense than the Buffs trying to go back to the Big 12? Is competitive eating a sport? Joey Chestnut winning yesterday for the 15th time at the Nathan's famous hot dog eating contest.
Discussing the hard-hitting topics.
On July 5th.
Yes.
All right.
We're journalists.
But we do turn our attention to something more journalistically worthy, perhaps.
Yeah.
More than, by far more than competitive eating. With us right now on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, August 1st, she will take over as the athletic director at Colorado Mesa University. Dr. Kimberly Miller joins us on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. And Kim, I won't say that again because my understanding is if I say the whole thing like that, you think you're in trouble. So we'll make sure. I'll make sure I don't say Kimberly Miller. I will not say that again. I don't want you to think you're in trouble.
Hey, goes all the way back from my childhood. So, you know, my mom called my name, say Kim is good. She says, Kimberly, I'm wondering. She says, Kimberly Miller. I'm like, oh, Lord, I'm going to get it.
That's your mom must have been spending time with my mom because of James Allen Davis. It's like, oh, I'm so screwed. I'm in so much trouble. Because she's using my middle name and she's calling me James. So it's not good.
Yeah.
Well,
how are you guys doing this morning?
We're doing great. First off, I want to extend a Grand Valley welcome to you coming to Grand Junction to take over as the athletic director at CMU on August 1st. And I know that for you, this has been a goal for your career the last 20 years. Of course, you've been at Augustana in South Dakota recently working there as an associate AD. But take us through the emotion of when you got the call, when you found out that you're going to be the next AD at Mesa, because you've had your eye on this institution for quite some time. We'll get into that in a moment. But take us through what it was like when you found out you've been hired as the next athletic director.
Yes, definitely. Well, first I want to say this. I'm actually the Deputy AD Director of Compliance and Senior Woman Administrator, Augustana. So, yeah, that's my title here now. A lot, you know, a big role here, but... when I got the call from President Marshall, I was just like, okay. And he says, I have some questions to ask you. And I'm like, okay. And he asked me a couple questions and then he offers me the opportunity. And I'm like, oh, all right. Can I call you back? Can I go run around my place and yell a little bit? So it was just a great call that day that he gave me, the day that he contacted me, and just very excited about receiving the opportunity. But then again, it was like unreal because, you know, Mesa is a great school, has great academics, has great athletics. So as I consider myself, a little old me gets the opportunity to actually, you know, be a part of Mesa. I think it's just a phenomenal opportunity at a phenomenal place, and I'm just very excited to get there and just start working.
Kim Miller, she'll take over as the athletic director at Colorado Mesa on August 1st, currently the associate athletic director at Augustana University in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And when we talk about how you've kind of had your eye on the Mesa program for quite some time, you were at Western Colorado University up in Gunnison for a couple of years up there in their athletic department. And just reading some of the comments in the local paper that obviously you were very familiar with Colorado Mesa, what the university was doing in terms of growing its athletic departments, the 26 sports that are currently there. But what else about Colorado Mesa, Kim, really attracted you? What were some of those things that maybe you said, boy, I really would like to be part of that at some point in time?
So just watching them excel athletically was definitely a big piece. But actually when we played Mesa in Grand Junction, I came to the game, all of the tailgating, just saw how everyone was very excited just to be at the games and to support Mesa. It was just a lot of energy that day. And it means if I see energy, I get energized, and just saw all the support that was there for the kids, the student athletes during that football game against Mesa. So it was just so much energy, so many people smiling, so many happy people. And I think that actually made me feel like, okay, yes, this is a place where I could come and be successful. You have so many people that have just joined the atmosphere of college athletics at Mesa, a football game. It was just great. I mean, the academics and the athletics was one piece of it, but actually getting to campus and seeing everything just come out in preparation and just see how people interacted with the student athletes and with each other, and just appreciated and enjoyed their time at the games. It was just phenomenal. I mean, every time you go to a game, you should have a great experience, a great fan experience, a great alumni connection experience, and just great interactions. And I saw that there. So it was really big. I mean, it was really huge to see that. And I very much enjoyed it. And that wasn't the last game that I went to. I went to many more while at Western, of course, and saw that same energy at those games. And it was a breath of fresh air to see it. Don't get me wrong, we had the same energy and excitement at Western, but it was just, as I would say, an elevated presence of just support there, which was just out of this world.
She's the next athletic director at Colorado Mesa University. Kim Miller joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. I mentioned you've been working at Augustana. What are some of the things in terms of, I know when you look at programs and things like that, Augustana, they've in the past have had very successful football programs. Just maybe some things that you've learned from being at Augustana, Kim, that can kind of carry over in terms of your leadership now at CMU with an athletic department that's somewhat comparable in terms of size and level of management.
I think the most important thing is to make sure that your student athletes are healthy and making sure that they're having a great experience. One big thing with me here at Augustana that I've been working on is student athlete well-being. So that's just making sure that they're healthy, they're getting the resources that they need in order to be healthy, and also getting the resources they need to be successful in their sport. So that's one thing that we do here at Augustana that I definitely would like to make sure that we're doing at Mesa. I know that Mesa has a lot of great things in place, and my thing is just wanting to move the needle a little bit further to make it a much better experience or enhanced experience for the student athletes. At the end of the day, the student athletes are our supporters, and they're going to graduate. So if they didn't have a great experience while at Mesa, they're not going to want to be a supporter or donor or a future scholarship donor or something like that. So we've got to make sure they have that experience. And here at Augustana, that's exactly what happens. But definitely that's one thing that I would like to make sure that we're doing. But then also, too, just speaking with the coaches while I was there, I don't want to come in and have, like, a ton of plans and anything like that, because I want to hear from them and know what they are looking for and what they need to make their program successful, so we can work together collectively as a group to make sure that everyone is having a great experience and making sure that they're getting the things they need in order to be successful. So I'm looking forward to just working with the team and coming up with things that are just going to make the program more outstanding than what they have been in the past. So just moving that needle a little bit further, step by step, stage by stage, in order for us to get to a Director's Cup or either a national championship. I mean, that's basically the goal of it all. But I think the number one thing is just making sure that we're all working together collectively in order to make these things happen.
New Colorado Mesa Athletic Director Kim Miller joining us this morning on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. And Kim, and I think that's refreshing, because there's always, I think, that tendency, and maybe especially for somebody being a first-time athletic director, of I've got to come in, I got to put my fingerprints all over this right now, and there's certain things that I want to do, and there's a list to do, where you walk into Mesa and you say, look, there's a lot of positive things here. The majority of the athletic programs at CMU are extremely successful, contending for RMAC championships, national playoff appearances, things like that. That I think it's refreshing to say, let me just talk to the people here, get the lay of the land, and then we'll kind of progress from there. Does that come from somebody in terms of your leadership style, of where you kind of maybe learned that approach?
Yeah, I definitely learned that approach from mentors, but also too, I don't know if you have been told, I'm a former head coach. I was a head coach for a softball team at a college for 6 years. So I definitely understand what coaches, like, they want you to understand what they are going through and what's happening with their team so that you can assist them. And I think the time when I was coaching, I got to understand that a little bit more in depth, because initially I started my career out as an administrator. Yes, I'm a former student athlete, but I started out as an administrator. And sometimes I think we miss the boat as administrators when it comes to the connection with the coach, in reference to really what is it going to take for them to be successful? What do you need? What professional development they need? What resources do they need? So I learned that as a coach, and I tried to implement that moving forward as an administrator, and it's worked out very well for me. But yes, I do have mentors that, you know, say sometimes you need to understand before you actually react. So I really try to listen. Don't get me wrong, I have a lot of energy and all of that, but I try to listen and understand before I say, okay, this is possibly what we need to do. But also too, I'm big on this, and this is something that I was taught along the way from a mentor. You know, if there's something that you need to push your team forward or move your team forward, come and let's sit down and talk. Have a plan and let's go through it so that we can make sure that we can execute it in the right way together as a team, versus trying to let you just go ahead and just, you know, do whatever or whatnot. And just let's work together. That's the main thing. Learn and work together. So that's why coming in and just getting a lay of the land, understanding, not necessarily having a firm plan in place, but I do know there are things that are going to have to be done in the short-term time, but just making sure that I just really, truly, truly understand, getting a lay of the land, getting to know the coaches, getting to know the student-athletes, so that we can make a, you know, as I would say, move that needle forward. I would say that.
New Colorado Mesa Athletic Director Kim Miller joining us today. She'll take over the job on August 1st. She's a graduate of Winston-Salem State, North Carolina, degree in sport management, master's degree in sports studies at High Point University in North Carolina, doctorate in philosophy and education for Central University in San Diego. So just a brief educational resume for you, Kim, as regard to what you bring to the table from that standpoint. But I think the last 20 years of working in athletic administration, everything from sports information to events, all kinds of things. I mean, that's part of the resume, is just a lot of your coaching, as you referenced, coaching softball as well. You have a lot of those things that you've been able to garner experience from and knowledge, just the hands-on experience the last 20 years.
Yeah, it's done a lot. I always said that if you're going to be in the position, you got to be effective. So the best thing to do is to learn every single position that you can within athletics, so that you have a foundational understanding of how that works and operates, so that you can be a better administrator. And so anytime anyone gave me the opportunity to be a part of something or to learn something or learn more about something, my response was never no. My response was yes, let me do it. So just the opportunities that I've had throughout my 20 years in athletics have just been phenomenal and have given me more knowledge about the entire gamut of athletics and the operations of athletics. So, I mean, it's just awesome. I'm so grateful to have those experiences, and I think those experiences will definitely help me as, you know, coming into the position as director of athletics at Mesa. So I'm really excited about it, and just can't wait to get to work with the coaches and the kids and the staff and the university staff, everyone, the community as well. I think that's very important to let the community know that I'm one that likes to be in the community. I'm one that likes to be a part of the community, and I can't wait to meet everyone in the community.
She's the new athletic director of Colorado Mesa. Kim Miller joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. And then just recently celebrating 50 years of Title IX, Kim, which obviously had an impact on you as a student athlete and for so many collegiate female athletes, high school athletes as well, and even professional athletes. But when you look at that, the Title IX and the impact that it's had, the carryover even into sports administration and those athletes like yourself that are now running programs. But the things that your hiring really means in terms of first female athletic director, one of the few female athletic directors. Of course, Chris Mort was one of those as well. But also the first black female athletic director in Colorado Mesa history. What that means in terms of race and also of gender in terms of being able to be in this spot to lead an athletic program. Just kind of take us through the emotions of that.
Well, I think it's just a great opportunity for me as an African-American woman to have this position. I've known throughout the years we've had some great minority women to excel to the position, but also some that are really trying to get to the position. I think Title IX, as well as other laws of the land, allows us to get involved in these opportunities. But I also want to say NCAA is extremely pivotal in this. The NCAA offers a lot of professional development opportunities for women and minorities in general, just so that they can, as I would say, move the needle. You also have women leaders in sports, and they do a lot of different professional development opportunities to expose females, women, minorities to these opportunities so that if they aspire to be athletic directors or commissioners, that they get to meet people and learn more about what it takes to get to these positions. So I have to say, and I have to give a shout out to women leaders. I've been involved with women leaders for years, went through all of their professional development opportunities, had the opportunity to meet a lot of women and watch them move forward to AD positions, such as Desiree Francois Reed at Missouri. I was actually in an executive institute with her. Trisha Turley at Maryland, actually with her. So just meeting these women and knowing that you have these strong women that are excelling for this position and giving opportunities to other women in sports is just awesome. And I think Title IX is just the icing on the cake that allows us to have those opportunities as well. And I'm very grateful for the pioneers of Title IX, but also very grateful to those organizations that truly embrace it and allow us to have opportunities that we may have not received back in the past. So it's very great. And like I said, NCAA does a great job with professional development, with this leadership development team. Women Leaders in Sports does a great job. Another organization, NASA. I mean, there's just so many opportunities out there for women and minorities to develop, to become stronger administrators. But also, too, one important part about it is having a strong mentor that's not going to be afraid to tell you the absolute truth about your journey and what you're doing and just give you guidance. So I think all of those are very important as well. And I've had the opportunity to experience it all. And one thing, my mentor for 20 years, she was 30 years in sports before, in collegiate sports before I even met her. But she is constantly on me telling me what she feels is right, wrong, how I could have did it, you know, differently, or how I could have viewed it differently, or how I could have interpreted it differently. And those are the type of people that you want with you in your circle, people that are going to be very honest and tell you these things so that you can be successful. So it's a lot of different things in the pot that has helped me throughout the years to get to where I'm going to be at August 1, and I'm very grateful for the opportunities. But then, like I said, if we go back to Title IX, that was just the foundation, and people have allowed that foundation to grow to give people equitable opportunities across the board.
Dr. Kimberly Miller. Last time I'll say that because I don't want you to think you're in trouble, Kim, okay?
It's okay.
You don't call me James Allen Davis. I won't call you Kimberly. I don't even know what your middle name is. Kimberly Miller. Well, I won't do that to you. So neither one of us will feel like we're in trouble from our moms. But
I purposely didn't tell you my middle name. My mom actually says my whole name because my name is so common. So if I tell you my middle name, I'm going to have even more people on Twitter and Instagram saying, "Hey, let's connect." So I kind of keep my middle name out of it.
I don't blame you, Kim. I don't blame you. Hey, look, your passion's infectious. I look forward to meeting you, and I'm looking forward to you being in charge of a Maverick athletic department that just keeps growing and getting better. And I think the ideas and your experience that you bring to the table are going to be immeasurable in continued success for CMU. So I appreciate the time fitting us in this morning, because I know you have a lot on your plate to get ready to move out here. And I guess the search for a house has probably started, right?
Yeah, that search started last week. So, but CMU has given me gracious houses and just been very nice, saying, "Hey, we know it's going to be a quick transition. We're here to help," and I'm loving it. I'm definitely loving it. Everyone has been so helpful and so eager to meet me, and I'm eager to meet them. So it's been great so far. I can't wait to get there and start working. But I do have to say this, though. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to need your help with this, Jim. We need to get some more people donating to MAV Athletics. So anyone that wants to write a check because they heard the energy that I have today, definitely anything that's going to support our student athletes from a mental health standpoint to resources standpoint. If you want to just get out your checkbooks or your debit cards and give donations to athletics today or any other day, please feel free. I can guarantee you that any money that you give is going to definitely go directly toward the student athletes and making their experience much better.
That's a great pitch. You can get a hold of Brian Rooks over at the foundation. the guy that did hold your job now is a new job.
Yes.
Trying to help you provide more money for CMU Athletics. Yeah, if you want to make a donation today, you can get a hold of Brian, or you can also find that information on the CMU website as well. Hey, Kim, I appreciate it. I really look forward to meeting you, and congratulations on being hired, and look forward to your tenure beginning on August 1st.
Thank you. Same here.
All right. Take care, Kim. I appreciate the time this morning.
All right. You too.
All right. Kim Miller, the new athletic director at Colorado Mesa. She's excited. She's ready to go. Ready to get into that office and start talking to people and start coming up with some plans on how to make CMU Athletics even better, which she walks into a great situation. It's definitely not a case of the cupboard being bare by any stretch of the imagination in terms of how successful pretty much every sport is at Colorado Mesa. I mean, you think about it. Is there a sport at Colorado Mesa you go, they're not very good?
Not really.
Can't. I mean, volleyball, as far as the beach volleyball team won a national championship, small college championship. Baseball won another RMAC regular season title.
Softball. Both lacrosse teams battled, got
both basketball,
on the doorstep of the playoffs.
Both both the men's and women's basketball teams made the postseason, made the South Central region. Football was on the cusp of being a playoff team.
Soccer teams,
very successful. I mean,
swim and dive.
Mickey Winder, swim and dive, yeah.
Wrestling.
Indoor and outdoor track and field. I said wrestling, both the men's and the women's wrestling teams. It's the list goes on and on of very successful programs, the 26 programs over at Colorado Mesa. All right, 9:24, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Let's see. Okay. Okay, yeah, you pay us $100 if we get on your racehorse.
Nope.
Okay, I've rode horses. I respect what you can do on a horse. So what is? You say
that's
no? Actually,
the go-to,
sport
right?
Roadie, the only sport. If you don't win, you don't get paid. Okay, that's. I have a lot of respect for Rodeo Dustin.
Yeah.
I have a tremendous amount of respect for the men and women that they compete in rodeo. But So you're gonna take shots at football in general, from youth football, because you're pushing rodeo. That's great. You like rodeo. I like supercross and motocross stuff. Those guys are incredible athletes to do that. Go out and hop on my dirt bike. We'll see what you can do with that. Kind of like the racehorse thing. We're not trying to. It's not a measuring contest of some kind. I don't need
not for everybody.
No, I don't need your $100 right. to be quite honest.
And I don't settle up for less than 10 G's either.
And I'm not, so. I mean, I'm not going to ride your horse.
And I don't take a check
because I'm not going to have you ride my bike. So there we go. Yeah. I just, you know, what does that have to do with you hating football?
It doesn't. That's the whole point.
So, yeah, if you want to get into some kind of measuring contest, fine. We'll go out and we can go ride dirt bikes. And then we can go ride horses. And we can play cornhole or whatever. What does that have to do with you not liking football? That's all I have to say about that. 9:26. Move on here. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll have this day in sports history. Appreciate Kim Miller coming on the program this morning, by the way. I think she'll do a fantastic job over at CMU.
Yeah, I think they're like the best on the radio.
At least at the pro level, the best of the best.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 9:29. Jim along with the Buckeye Boys. So if you got some thoughts about what Colorado should do in this turmoil right now. According to a report from KSL Sports in Salt Lake, that CU, Utah, Arizona State will be talking with the Big 12 today.
And I know we touched on it in four down territory, but we were tight on time. The Mountain West top six, I don't even know if it's the top six. It's just the first six that came to mind.
Sure.
You know, I think with adding CSU, Air Force, Wyoming, Boise, San Diego State, Fresno, like, I think if the Pac-12 goes that route, there's two that they have to get. Boise and San Diego State. San Diego State for that Southern Cal.
Because it kind of gets you the LA TV market, Southern California TV market.
But Boise's a national get now for any conference, you know, because they have their own TV deal outside of the Mountain West deal with ESPN. They have a national following. And not a lot of it is because it's a traditional football power, but it is a, you know, it's kind of, it sounds insulting, and it kind of is. It's a cute story, right? Because they beat Oklahoma, the Statue of Liberty play, but eyeballs are eyeballs, no matter why they're watching.
And their men's team did make the NCAA tournament this year.
That's that, too.
In college basketball. So
they
were
pretty decent, you know. So eyeballs are eyeballs, right? And San Diego State kind of along those same, because people are like, oh, let's check out San Diego State, Mountain West after dark. And they're usually entertaining games, not always good, but entertaining. Those are the two big gets for the Pac-12. If they can get those two, maybe more, maybe CU stays.
But you got to, you know, here's the problem, though. What do Washington and Oregon do?
That's
because you lose Washington and Oregon. You're done.
Oh, yeah. You're toast.
I mean, sorry, Cal.
Turn the lights out.
Sorry, Washington State, Oregon State. Sorry, guys. Stanford. There's not enough
then you
of
do,
a reason.
You don't, you know, invite. You merge with the Mountain West. And you guys go that route.
And so, because AJ said Oregon has to be next, right, with the Nike Bucks. Look, who's next is going to be Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
While the Big Ten right now looks like they're done expanding at the moment, you know, they've set a chair at the table for Notre Dame.
Yeah.
For Notre Dame, do they want to become a full-time member of the ACC? Or would you rather be Big Ten or ACC? It's not even a debate for me.
No, it shouldn't be.
I want to be in the Big Ten, and how soon can we get there? Because at some point, their independent status, their NBC TV deal, that independent status is going to work against them. It's already now with what we've seen here, this very seismic change. The creation now of super conferences, at least two super conferences. We might see a third one, maybe in the next week or so, with the Big 12. But Notre Dame is the next, they're the next shoe to fall, because they're, from a national standpoint, you mentioned Boise State, that they have a following, and I don't disagree with you on that. But compared to Notre Dame, not even close.
No, not at all.
And so that will be the next one to fall. I'm just talking about, because AJ said it has to be the next one, right? Could be the next Pac-12 or Pac-12 one. Notre Dame will have to make a decision at some point in time of what do we do? Because if now the super conferences really dictate who's in the college football playoffs, which they already kind of do anyway, let's be honest.
Even more so.
They're going to be on the outside looking in. Either you have to join the ACC full-time, which I wouldn't do that if I was them at this point in time. I would want to join the Big Ten. The Big Ten wants them, that's the thing. The Big Ten will want them because they make total sense. Nationally known brand, perfect fit. Regionality, I get it, doesn't matter anymore, but from a regional standpoint, it makes a lot of sense.
Now, there's more money today available in the Big Ten as opposed to the ACC. But as a notorious, you know, what corner can I cut, work smarter, not harder guy that I am, if you're looking for the college football playoff money, if I'm Notre Dame, I do join the ACC. I can win that conference. I don't know if I can win the Big Ten and get a guaranteed slot into the playoffs. I don't know if I'm winning the Big Ten.
But the money is not going to be in the ACC what it is from the Big Ten. And
right
that's,
now.
And that's going to be, and that's, but, and we don't, look, I get it that the ACC is.
The thing that hurts them is they're still 14 years on that grant of rights.
And that's the problem. If you're Notre Dame, do you want to lock yourself in for the next 14 years? Where, who's to say what down the road what happens with the ACC? Isn't it a better? You're going to hop in a better boat if it's a Big Ten. I get it. The path to winning and getting to the college football playoffs, maybe it will be more difficult, but it's a better boat to be in.
But I think the ACC is sturdier than people think right now.
Because for now,
they do still have UNC, Virginia, Virginia Tech,
Clemson.
Miami, Clemson. Well, I'm talking outside of Clemson. I was working my way up there. You know, so they have all those teams on the football side, and basketball, they're as set's going to get with UNC, Duke, all the other teams that play. You know, so, like, I know a lot of this is, oh, what's the ACC, they were very much business as usual with their ADs and presidents conference call. I think it was Friday morning.
Right.
For everything I read, even Jack Swarbrick, who was on the call, very much a business as usual vibe, and I know that's outward, not behind the scenes. There could be as much panicking going on there as there is in the Pac-12.
Oh, there's. I think there's far less panicking in the ACC. I totally agree with you on that.
Pac-12 is taking on water. The ACC can still sail.
Yeah, they're okay. I mean, they're nobody's going to leave because of the grant of rights.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, could Clemson try to buy their way out of it and try to get into the SEC? See if the SEC would want them in, or maybe it's the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
The feeling is that the Big Ten has a reluctancy to go into the South. That they're kind of, it's a little bit of like a couple of gangs or a couple of, you know, mafia organizations. Mm-hmm. Hey, you guys have the South. We've got the Midwest, and we've now got the West. You know, you stay out of our territory.
Kentucky's
we'll stay out of
Kentucky's kind of in their backyard, but they're not really anything to worry about football-wise.
Much, much better.
Much better, but...
But still, it's not what they hang their hat on.
And they're really not the threat. When you start to get to the lower part of Kentucky, where there's Tennessee and North Carolina and Missouri, then you start to get into... This may not be a yard we want to wander into right at this moment.
Yeah, their focus is on West Coast expansion.
Because
it does. It sounds like a mob. Hey, we're worried about making our West Coast expansion in our operation. That's what Commissioner Warren's worried about right now. And that's where you had a gift fall in your lap which was USC and UCLA going, particularly USC.
Yeah.
Who's kind of like, UCLA's kind of like the kid brother. You're coming with me. And okay, I'm fine with that.
But for the SEC, there's also on the other side of that, there's a crap load of teams in their region already that they could pick up if they wanted to. I mentioned what? Miami, Florida State. Yeah. If they really wanted to continue to expand, those are their targets. Because those are also national brands. Sleeping Giants, potential powerhouses that could continue to buoy that conference, even though I make it sound like the SEC's in trouble. They're not.
Or do we? Or does there come a point, though, where they play the long game, the SEC, in terms of, okay, we'll see what happens in 14 years. Mm-hmm. And do we eventually absorb the ACC? Do we eventually squeeze them out of business?
Yeah.
And then look who they could add. So all those schools you just mentioned. Is it a deal where it becomes a Big Ten, SEC? Okay, we're gonna divide the divide the assets here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you take Big Ten, you take Kentucky, and you take Tennessee, and we'll take Florida, and we'll take Florida State, and we'll take Miami. And
I wouldn't be surprised if on a golf course somewhere or boardroom, the SEC commissioner and the Big Ten commissioner had a conversation. It's like, all right, you stay out of the North and the West. We'll stay out of the South. 2036 comes around. It's a free-for-all, baby. Everybody's on their own. And they just kind of, they're like Hulk and Macho Man. They're the superpowers. And they're just, they're each kind of picking their own territory. And then when the ACC, like you said, when the ACC deal comes up, then it's either a free-for-all or they each have a list. It's like Boggle. Nope, I want that one. Nope, yep. I want that. Okay, you can have that.
We'll divide it up, mm-hmm. and you get these schools. We'll take these schools.
Virginia, Virginia Tech, West Virginia, Big Ten, you can have them.
And maybe it gets down to three. Maybe it does turn into three super conferences, and maybe that's the Big 12.
Mm-hmm. And then that's 40, if it's 16 each, right?
Yeah.
That's 48. That's enough to field a college football playoff field of 12.
Yeah,
for me.
Absolutely.
You know, like, I know every once in a while you'll have the cute story of, like, Virginia winning the ACC or whatever. That's not going to happen every year. It's going to be even more of the same teams with the occasional outlier winner. But to go back to the original point, Notre Dame is the one everybody's looking at. And I think they're just sitting there.
They're going to take all suitors.
They're going to listen.
Yeah.
They're not going to. They've never made a rash move. Like, oh my God, the SEC just got Texas and Oklahoma. We got to get somebody else.
Which they don't have to do that.
No.
But at some point, they might be forced. They're going to be forced.
They're going to have to make a move. But I think they'll, between now and forced, they'll move on their own terms.
Right. And but ultimately, it's the way it's going to work out. You can't be an independent. What did BYU figure out? That's why. Mm-hmm. Why do you think BYU's joining the Big 12?
I saw this morning, it's like maybe Stanford will go independent. And I just laughed. Like, why?
BYU figured out that it wasn't profitable to be independent.
And now they're going into the Big 12.
Yeah. And now you're going to see, I know people don't like the phrase holy war, but you'll see that become a Big 12
Mm-hmm.
game potentially if Utah ends up joining. That'll become a regular season game.
Then you'll get CU whacked by BYU every year, every other year.
Robert, Notre Dame will not join the Big Ten. It would have to play Iowa sometime. Superstition rules. Notre Dame, not money. It has plenty of that. Do you think Notre Dame sits around and what, because
they're scared of Iowa?
Because I forgot Robert had something. It was like when
some nonsensical,
like when JFK got shot, was assassinated, and Iowa beat Notre Dame. I heard there was some story Robert has, some conspiracy theory thing of why Notre Dame doesn't want to play Iowa.
Yeah, I think it was like a 5 month or 5 Saturday month, and they all fell 7 days apart or something like that.
I don't remember what the deal was. But anyway, they've got money, Robert. But at some point,
you can always have more.
But at some point, if you don't join a conference, whether it's the ACC or the Big Ten, you're gonna get squeezed out of the college football playoffs. They're gonna eventually say, if you're an independent, you're not in. You've got to be part of a conference. And I've said this, I've said that forever. that at some point that will happen for Notre Dame. Their 100-plus years of independent status is going to have to go away because the times have changed.
If they're making $40 million a year from Notre Dame, and there's a phone call that could net them $80 to $90 million a year from the Big Ten, and Jack Swarbrick says no, or their president says no, guess who's probably not going to have a job for very long? That's a lot of money to just kind of be leaving there.
And they're not going to do that.
No. And I know we referenced it in hour number one, getting to the whole Colorado aspect of this. Found the quote. It's from a Sean Keeler column in the Post.
Right. We both thought it was The Athletic.
And it's really a piece lifted makes it sound like he attributes. So he used the Athlon quote. When asked about CU in 22, an opposition coach offered, "The trick with Colorado is that from the outside, expectations are unclear. Coaches talk in this league, and there's a reputation out that they're not interested in pressing to be great again. They're just going to be focused on academics." That's kind of damning. If opposing coaches in the Pac-12 are essentially saying, we don't have to worry about them very much.
You know,
that's not good.
There's one player, though, that we have not mentioned that could possibly save the Pac-12. CBS. CBS is they're
out of the SEC.
Their SEC deal's going away. ESPN takes that over. Fox has got the Big Ten.
Is that a window that's because CBS, that 1:30 Saturday game, you're going to get a lot of Pac-12 games at 12:30 local time?
And I don't. Which they would require the Pac. I mean, they would come in and say, "Look, this is what's going to fit our schedule. This is when you're going to be playing."
Right.
Kind of like what Fox did with the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm. But the difference between CBS then and now is you had Alabama, Florida,
yes,
Auburn, Georgia to throw in those time slots. Say, you know, the four that we're talking about this morning bolt. Is it going to be just the Oregon game of the week? If you're CBS, because that's the only team you can really throw out there.
But could they look, live sports programming is it's king, it's valuable.
College football.
And it's college football. Even if it's the Pac-12, a diminished Pac-12, if you decide to maybe add some of those Mountain West schools that we talked about,
yeah,
and that convinces Washington and Oregon to stay, maybe.
It'd be nice to have CU, CSU not on the Mountain West Conference or CBS Sports Network.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to have them on the stick, CBS.
And so, you know, now becomes a question of, do those four schools we talked about, Colorado being one of them, do they bolt? And what does Washington and Oregon do? Because there will be demand for them.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to want them. And does the
and
Big
I'm sure
Ten,
somebody will take Wazoo and OSU, the other Oregon state.
Right.
They will take them to get Oregon and Washington too.
And is the Big Ten, while we say that they're done for now, could they pass on adding more schools to their West Coast footprint, particularly Oregon, which is a nationally known name, and the Nike money that AJ referenced, and Washington, which brings you a top 20 TV market.
Yeah. I think Ohio State wears Nike. I think Michigan wears Nike. That's not an insignificant detail either.
Yes.
If it comes to that.
And one of the comments that was made from a Pac-12 source, we need things to slow down. This comes from the Keeler article.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but what does that
Good
mean?
Luck.
I mean, you can't. Sitting pat is what got you in this mess to begin with. Not wanting to approve the college football playoffs. The horrible TV deal that the Pac-12 network turned into by Larry Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Either and not doing enough to try to rectify that problem. Not doing anything to fix it. Maybe when Apple is willing to throw money at the Pac-12, maybe they should have taken Apple up on that deal.
Mm-hmm. The Pac-12, if you're playing blackjack, they had an ace four and stood.
Yeah.
And now we're surprised when everybody's beating them. You know, or the dealer flips over 18. Like, what happened? Well,
what happened? Yeah, exactly. Well, you
had a bad hand and you decided not to make it any better.
You made poor decisions,
yeah,
in terms of your TV network.
Mm-hmm.
You made a horrible decision in supporting but not voting, yeah, for a 12-team college football playoff.
I have an ace five working for that straight. Well, there's too many cards in the middle there.
And then 2019, I saw the quote from Larry Scott. Well, you know, as long as we've got USC here part of this, you know, that they're a cornerstone of what we do here in the Pac-12.
And that, if I'm the other 11 schools, I am livid when he says that, because now that is monumental leverage for
did
USC.
Nobody learn anything from Texas in the Big 12? Not that USC had their own network like the Longhorn did, but of schools going, we know how much we're worth, and you don't treat us nearly as good as we think we should be treated by you. Nobody learned from that.
Nope.
Nobody learned from Texas controlling the Big 12 forever and not being all that great, let's be honest, in the Big 12,
mm-mm,
toward the end. And ultimately what happened were Oklahoma, the other brand name. I mean, Oklahoma in the sidecar to Texas. It really should be the other way around, but it felt more like it was Texas, though, right? That was taking Oklahoma along for the ride.
Yeah.
In this case, it's USC with UCLA in the sidecar. I just say nobody learned from that. When one school is acknowledged by the leadership there of how important they are, and they go, yeah, we know we're important. We're better than being in this conference.
We can't lose Texas. All right, you're going to lose Texas and Oklahoma. We can't lose USC. How about both LA schools?
How about both LA schools? All right, 9:50, time for...
That's the story of the greatest sport moment in all of history.
It's time to take a trip back in time. It's This Day in Sports History.
Back in time. All right, let's hit on a couple this morning. 1912, New York Giants pitcher Christy Mathewson wins his 300th game with a 9-7 win over Philadelphia at National League Park. 1946, Sam Snead wins the British Open by 4 strokes at the Old Course of St. Andrews, Scotland. It was the first Open held since 1939 because of World War II, and Snead's only British Open title. Also, we mentioned on this day, 1947, Larry Doby becomes the first black player to play in the American League when he takes the field against the Chicago White Sox at Kaminsky Park. Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier just 3 months earlier. 1975, Arthur Ashe beats Jimmy Connors in 4 sets to become the first black man to win the Wimbledon men's singles title. 1980, Bjorn Borg beats John McEnroe in 5 sets. And one of the greatest tennis matches ever played, won his 5th straight Wimbledon men's singles title. Right now, Novak Djokovic trying to battle back in his match at Wimbledon. We will take a break. We'll come back and wrap it up. This is the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Craptastic.
That's just crap.
The team presents the Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the Team.
9:54, Jim and the Buckeye Boy. It's time for garbage time.
We're taking out the trash. It's garbage time on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
Oh, I love trash.
Okay, just a couple things here. One final thing about the whole Pac-12 situation. That Washington, their president, Anna Marie Kachi, took over as the chair of the Pac-12 board on Friday.
Interesting.
Puts her in a difficult spot, doesn't it?
Welcome. Also a piece, the Denver Nuggets signed Colin Gillespie, one of our favorites on this program, over the weekend, the dude out of Villanova. And they also have Bruce Brown coming aboard.
Makes him better defensively.
Could look like this.
DeAndre Murray, Jordan.
KCP, Brown, Aaron Gordon, and Jokic. And then DeAndre Jordan.
Not bad. Also, Hank Goldberg, who worked at ESPN. He was a reporter, handicapping expert for 2 decades.
Hammer and
Hank. Yep, the Hammer. Unfortunately, died yesterday on his 82nd birthday. He had been in treatment for chronic kidney disease in recent years. Hammer and Hank was 500 or better in 15 of his 17 NFL seasons while predicting games at ESPN. And then became a frequent contributor on ESPN's Daily Wager show throughout its existence. But I mean, he's one of those guys.
Always seemed like a fun dude.
Yeah, yeah. And but first, of course, it was Jimmy the Greek on NFL Today on CBS back in the day with You're Looking Live with Brett Musburger and those folks. But the Hammer yeah. and Hank certainly had his very prominent role in terms of predicting games and kind of the bringing early on the sports wagering kind mm-hmm. of aspect into NFL coverage and everything.
And he's a Miami guy too, back yeah. when Miami only had football. No Panthers, no Marlins, no Heat. Back when they only had football, he was a huge deal back then.
All right, that's our show for today. Don't forget Rockies and the Dodgers tonight on the team. Jack Corgan and Jerry Schimmel will bring it to you from Dodger Stadium. Pre-game at 7:30 tonight for that one. First pitch around 8:10 from Dodger Stadium. For the Buckeye Boy, I'm Jim. Coming up next, it's Jim Rome. And we'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 7 on the Team Sports Network online at theteam1340.com. Have a great day.